See, when I was growing up, or just several years ago, we didn't think too much about tape ministry. There's a purpose in that. And we used to think that a famine for the Word meant that we'd get to the time when we wouldn't hear much preaching. When I was growing up, we heard so much about the mark of the beast, and I just determined I would give my head. I mean, way back there as a child, I said, "Yes, Lord, I have decided if that's what it takes in the end, I will give my head by the grace of God." And I would go out and see the sun sinking low in the west, and it would turn that orangey, burnt orange color. And I didn't realize that it was the moon that was going to be turned into blood. So I thought, yes, now that's reminding me of it. See, they prepared us for the end time, but we didn't realize that it was going to be a time of revival. And the famine was not going to be for the Word, but for the hearing of it. Over and over now, we're realizing the Word is just coming alive. You open that same Bible that you've been reading for years and years, and it's saying brand new things to you. Isn't it, ladies? It is talking to us. Very personally, it is talking to us. And that's what these meetings are all about. And don't apologize or don't be sorry that we don't have anybody here but ministers' wives. I think that's the way the Lord intended for it to be. We need to do this first. We just had the first one in Colorado last year. Had the first one in, maybe this is not the first one in Tennessee. But we just had that last week or week before last. Because did you know that if you can get ministers' wives to get the vision and the burden like we need it, Sister Lumpkin, we will go back. And hundreds and thousands will be stirred because you are the key. These women right here tonight, you're the key. You will make the difference. All right, you may be seated. I just tell you, when I hear one song sung, I just get so inspired. And then I hear somebody else say something, and I get so inspired. And by the time it's like putting one shell after the other one into one of those guns that's automatic and that just keeps shooting. And first thing you know, by the time you call on me, I'm so loaded until I hardly... That's why I come out, Sister Mickey, with scattered things sometimes. You know, just scattered shots. When I get up to speak, it just kind of scatters because one thing, I have about 3 different books with notes in them. Now that doesn't mean they're full for tonight. That means that I got inspired maybe on the plane going here, or I got inspired in the car going some other place, and I jotted them down in this little book. And then I got inspired and I jotted them down in here, and I've just got a mixture here. So we will see what the Lord... But I'll tell you what, I was to go to Tennessee the other day before I was to come here, and when I was praying, the Lord gave me something I felt like especially for Arkansas. And it was, I was going to Tennessee first, and I hadn't gotten anything for them yet. You know, I didn't know what was going to be special for there. And right at the last, the Lord gave me something just for them. I may share it, bring it over here, and by the time it all gets mixed. But I want you to know that what the Lord impressed me to talk with you about was definitely, if I can find which book it's in, at the right... but I know that you won't forget, surely, the title of it. And that is, When Brokenness Becomes a Blessing. I don't know whether to try to sing that song. I don't know if I even know the words or not, but Sister Lumpkin wanted me, and it came to me a while ago, that when she asked me to come up and speak in Arkansas at this time, that she did request me to sing this song that was written at a time when I was really, I thought that was a lot of trouble until I've had a little more trouble the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. But our youngest child was at death's door, and we were trusting the Lord completely with him. And oh yes, let me stop right here. Now this is my pattern. I don't like tapes because I don't do things properly. I don't say things right because I will say a broken sentence and I'll start on another subject. And then maybe I'll get back to finish that. But I mean, that's their problem. Or yours, if you buy the tape. I'm not afraid with you that are here because you understand, but these tapes get scattered out everywhere and they don't know what's wrong with the speaker, you know. Well, they should have been here, shouldn't they? Maybe they would have liked to have been. Now, what was I going to say? Okay, I want to thank her first for inviting me. I want you to know that I am not here because I am good. I feel like, and this is from my heart, and I know me better than anybody knows me. Brother D thinks he knows me better than I know me. But I believe I know myself better. And I know that I am not as good as some of you all are. So that isn't why the Lord has me here. I don't know exactly why He chooses certain vessels. I do not understand the workings of God. And I'm glad I don't. I love the mystery of the way God does things. I just love that. And I love the way He's working on relationships with His people now. And I know one thing. I know many years ago when this thing first started about me going and speaking to different districts, and I might say, I believe I was in 9 different ones last year. No wonder I get a little bit tired, because when I got back to Houston, it was all there waiting for me that I should have done while I was gone. But when it first started way back, oh, many years ago. Yes, I am an old-timer. Nobody has to tell you that. You can see that very well with the wrinkles and the moles and the warts and the silver hair. I have more gray hair than my mother. But it was in Oklahoma. And I said, at night, they had a district conference for the ladies. And at night, they had everybody come, even the district superintendent. And there I was, not even a preacher. And I surely didn't know why I was there. So on the way from the airport, Brother Deese had decided he would take that little trip that time with me, because I ordinarily went with him all the time. But this was a little bit different. So he had a day or two off, and he decided he'd go with me. But he was accustomed to me speaking just in the daytime, you know, and he always took care of the, most of the time, he took care of the main service. From the airport, I was in the back of the car, and the driver, Brother D said, who is your evening speaker? And I thought, this is going to be fun. So I watched the driver kind of glance over like, are you kidding? Because I hadn't told him that I was. So he couldn't believe that Brother Deeds really didn't know that he was coming up there to hear me at night. So I'm getting back now to why the Lord uses certain people. So I got up that night, and there were those men mixed with those ladies and the district superintendent, and that was a long time ago. I've had a little more experience since then. And I said, I don't know why the Lord has me here. I'm not a preacher. And the only reason I know is I will say what I feel like God impresses me to say. It makes no difference to me, you know, whether how it sounds or what it is that is being said. If I feel impressed, I'm that much of a child that I know I can't understand what God is doing. I do not understand how He deals with us individually. So I just know that my little part that if I will just give Him my loaves and my fishes, He can do wonders. I have been amazed. Like in Dallas, you know, people have told me what a blessing that was. Sister Mickey, thank you for that note you wrote me. I think I tucked it away for someday when I get quiet and still and retire, I'm going to put these things in a scrapbook. And she thanked me for what I said, or the spirit that it was said in. Really, I didn't say enough for anything. So it was the Lord, and the way He works, we don't understand it. I know one thing, if we'll get out of the way, maybe that's why He's opened doors for me. I will get out of the way. I want Him to do what He wants to do in these meetings. Because I know that He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly. And He is so personal. If we have grieved Him as His people, it would be, I know, over this one thing, and that is, we are not conscious enough of His presence. We are not grateful enough for His provision. And we have not recognized and worked on that personal love relationship with Him. You see, the reason that God Almighty ever created a man, I believe, was because the one thing that God lacked. Now, God is complete in Himself, but He can desire. Anything you and I do, God did. Any emotion you have, any feeling you may have, God had that feeling. Because we're made in His image, and He longed and yearned for the relationship with an image creature like Himself. The reason that I think that, more than one reason, he created Lucifer for a companionship thing, I feel. I feel that He created Lucifer in the beginning next to God. If not, why did He create Lucifer different from the rest of the angels? It said he was next to God in power, and He made him more beautiful than all the other angels. I know that it was a disappointing to God when Lucifer decided he was not. You know Lucifer's problem is our problem. The same thing that weakened him, an angel that created his own evil. It was not in the environment, and neither is your sin to be found in the environment. See, the devil can't make you do anything. And let me tell you that Calvary took care of everything. And when Jesus got the keys of death, hell, and the grave, what other keys are there? I mean, even sickness is a part of death. So if He has the keys, what does the devil have left? The victory is already there. And when I realized that, I had to get buried in ashes for the Lord to share with me some of these things. You either in brokenness, you become bitter. The easiest thing to do is to become bitter. But it is by far the most destructive and miserable thing to do. And to me, there's no choice in the matter. I'm like Peter was there when he thought Jesus had made a mistake that day when Jesus started, as Brother Pugh is preaching on now, the cutting edge. When he drew that line down the center after he had performed so many miracles to show the people beyond the shadow of a doubt who he really was, that he was God. And after he'd given them sufficient evidence and proof, then it was time for that line to be drawn. And he knows just when to draw it in our lives. And so he drew it and he said, I mean, he waited for the biggest crowd probably they had ever had. And the kingdom seemed to be on the build. And weren't the apostles happy? You know how you ministers' wives feel when the house fills up with people. You know how good you feel when a revival is going and people are getting the Holy Ghost? Well, that's the way Peter and them felt. Only the Lord had to straighten their priorities out. He had to give them the proper perception of things. They were thinking of an earthly kingdom, but man, it looked good to them to see 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And things were really going great around there. And they were so glad He had chosen them. And all of a sudden, He gets up and just messes up the whole thing. That's my way of faith. Peter said, Lord, do you realize, come over here just a minute. Do you realize what you just said? The Bible said Peter rebuked Jesus. And he said, Jesus, come over here. Do you see the people leaving over what you said? It's a hard saying. Did Jesus say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way? Say, everybody, come back just a few minutes. I'll explain to you what I was talking about. No. You know what he said, don't you? What did he say? Yeah, he said, Peter, are you going too? He knows when to draw the last straw and just leave us to fall limp on the potter's wheel. Broken. I was in very, very deep. Now, I am a fun person. And I can just change moods so quickly that my husband doesn't understand. And I always had a good time all of my life. I mean, I hurt easily. I was very sensitive as a child. Asked Sister Nancy. She thought I could cry at the drop of the hat, you know. She had been exposed to some things in life. She got hers early, and I got mine late. But the Lord will not leave you out either, honey, because He loves you. And He wants everybody to have the opportunity to be just exactly what He wants you to be. And it will take that for you to be. So, I was right in the midst. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years have been breaking years. And I depended on this a whole lot. The name they were singing about became a refuge for me. And let me just get this in just in case I forget it some other time at the proper place. I'll do it right now. And that is, when you have a breaking experience, don't try to reason out why with the person that was involved in it. Or if nobody is there to help you, don't get bitter with your friends or your husband if he gets too busy with other people. The Lord intends it to be that way. He wants you to be by yourself. Every man is an island. And yet no man is. He has it fixed. It's paradoxical. That's why it's so exciting. And it's just, the mystery of it all is just a thrilling, thrilling experience. You watch the paradoxes of God. And so I would turn to His Word, and I turned to this. Oh, and He gave me more promises. And see, He wanted Brother Deeds not to be there at that time. At first I thought, look, if I ever needed you, honey, I need you now. Because, you know, growing up, I had established that pattern. And the Lord has to break our patterns. He has to just rearrange and move this out over here. And that's the way a potter does, you know. That's the way he does. How many of you have ever really seen a real potter at work? It's a good experience, isn't it? And over in Hebron, I can still see that little potter over in Israel that he was over there in the corner. You may have been there, Sister Lumpkin. And he has stooped over in that corner, over that clay, so many years until his little back is just stooped. And hot weather and all, no air conditioning, and I can just see that potter. Well, that's the way a potter does. I have also been, though, to a place in America, and America does throw aside its broken pieces. More so, well, in fact, tangible things are easy to throw away. They're hard to repair. Sometimes it's almost impossible. But intangibles? No. There is no impossibility with this potter. It is not his willing. We need to get this in our minds. It is not his will that any vessel be left in the garbage. We do not have the restoration ministry that we need among us yet. And God is working on it. He knows how to work on it. He knows we have got to have the feeling of how that person out there feels that is so broken. You see, I have been so shielded and protected all of my life. With my mother, I started to say a while ago, my pattern was when I was a child, I was the only child. I would go to my mother. She was a preacher. And my conscience was very, very quick and tender. And I would go to her if I had said or done something, and she was my priestess. And I would go confess, and I would feel all right if I told on myself to mother, and we'd pray about it. Well, when I married, I mean, it isn't my fault. I married so young. Brother D just shouldn't have married me so young. So I just transferred that to him. And night after night, I would say, honey, forgive me and good night. So finally, he said, what have you done? This was my pattern, see. My pattern was to be sure and to be guilty over anything. So the Lord had to break this pattern, and the pattern of depending on another person. Because Jesus is jealous of me. He didn't want my mother, my husband, nobody but him to get to fix me. I want you to remember that. Don't blame your best friend for not coming or not being there for you to talk to. Or your husbands. Don't blame it on the saints for taking up his time. One night I would not put it in a book, though I have a book that is just about ready. Well, I'm no telling how many years it'll be before it gets published. But at least it is scribbled in on these pages somewhere. I mean, I think I have enough chapters. It's just about ready. But I would not put it in a book because it's too personal. And the hurts were so bad that I cannot describe to you. I felt like if another shock or another disappointment came, I felt like that there would almost literally be pieces of me on the ceiling, the walls. I thought, Lord, now you know this. Now you know me, and you know I am weak. And I kept trying to tell him how weak I was. I said, you know, I am not strong. I am a weak vessel. Please, Jesus, you know that. I am just a baby. It's kind of like when I was spanking one of my children one time. And he said, Mother, I am just a little boy. And Reginald was the worst. He would start praying sometimes before I ever touched him. Oh, God. Oh. And that's a lot the way I was, you know. Why wait and get a hard whipping? I just say, calf rope, Jesus, let's get this thing over with. And I'll be back having some more fun. Because I was a happy person. But all of a sudden, my joy just started leaking out. And Sister Lumpkin, I knew that. And it was my personality was changing to the church. Even though I was trying to hide it. You know how it is, don't you? When you don't feel quite as bright and cheery. But they know that if I don't smile, there is something wrong. And it got harder and harder to smile. So one day I was going. A chorus came to me. And it was, here's the words. It said, nobody but you, Lord. I was driving the freeway. can make me smile again. No one else can understand the way I feel. You can take a broken heart when it's falling all apart. Put the pieces back together once again. And I just sing that and sing it and go. He'd always give me something positive. Until I would open this Bible, I got more promises, and they just held me together. But Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, when I would turn to that one, I'd fall apart again. Now I thought, now Lord, if you're giving me this would be to help me. It wouldn't be to make me feel worse. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, these are my words. Get up, Jeremiah, and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Now wait, Lord. I thought you had been telling me these things to prophesy to people all these years. Look at all the things Jeremiah said, God said. You and I speak for God a lot of times when we don't know what we're talking about. I want to say that again. We give advice to people we don't even know what we're talking about. That's why, honey, the older you get, the less you'll be able to say to them, you're on the right track. And we cheat people when we try to give them answers. He wants a love relationship. That's what I started to say about Lucifer a while ago. When he became ungrateful, that is the root. That is the first step. You see, if you're ungrateful, that's about all that could have happened to Lucifer. At first, because there was no devil there. There was no sin there. And all of a sudden, he just said, look, I'm not satisfied with being. Did you know it's dangerous to be dissatisfied? Discontent. Without rest and peace in your spirit. And let me tell you something, I'm striving. I am striving to let the Lord. We can have any kind of attributes He has, all of them, if we'll just let Him. It is a simple thing, but the most simple processes are the most difficult things for us to do. And that is to give up. I mean, what's any more simple than just saying, here, take it, God. You worry with it. But that's the hardest thing for you to do. Especially if your child's involved. Or your husband. Or, well, it's just hard to give up. Is it hard to give up? Make what we call commitment. And so, When we say yes to the Lord, that is one of the most difficult things we will ever have to do. And you cannot do it for tonight, for tomorrow, or the next day. That's why He said, Thy will be done this day. Give us our daily bread. Thy will be done. I find it very good to get up in the morning, and if you don't even get on your knees, if you will consciously say to Jesus, I recognize, Lord, this is your day. I want you to do with me this day. Keep me today. Just talk to Him while you get it. You know, I think the pattern that He wants us to live by is just what He's told us, and that is continuous communication. Now, that prayer, that talk today on prayer was fantastic. And that's all prayer is. It's communication. And you've got to have that communication. A marriage will not last if you can't communicate. So it isn't just me talking to God. It's God. It's me waiting and listening. Just being a good listener. You know, that may be another one of our main problems that we need to get rid of, we need to rearrange, is to realize that God wants some speaking time to me. He loves to share secrets. And He will give you some. And don't expect everybody else to be so excited about it when you share it with them. I just want to share everything that the Lord gives me. And so far, He's been pretty kind to me. If He gives me something just so good, I just can't take it, you know, by myself. Well, somebody will say, would you come over here and speak to us? And I get to share it. But I remember years ago, I think I was fasting that day, and we were in revival. And the others weren't fasting that particular day. And I'd been to the church to pray, and I came in, and listen, the Lord had given me a revelation. And I knew why that church was not doing any better than what it was doing. And and I told Brother Dee, I came in, I was so excited, and they were sitting down. I can still remember it very clearly, because that was one of my first lessons, that when the Lord gives you something as the secret, you know, it isn't always to be shared. Not right then. So I walked in and I said, oh, honey, I just couldn't wait to tell him what we needed to do about that church, that what was wrong with that church. We had our fig leaf aprons trying to cover ourselves up with good works, you know, like giving to missionaries. That wasn't the way that He said, listen, the Lord will let me know what He wants with this church. He's learned since then to listen a little bit better. Ooh, I'll tell you what men are learning, though, and they've just about convinced me. And, well, I think I thought of it before they did, but... And that is that women, God had a reason for giving us intuition. I mean, why do you think you're married to a preacher? Why did God make a woman? We wouldn't even be here if it weren't for the men. If it weren't for men needing us, we would not be here. I'm talking about women all over the world. That's why God said He made us. Was because He saw what that man needed. And it's always harder to fit in to another situation than it is to be the situation. Let me explain myself. I draw it on a board when I have one. I mean, when the Lord lets me have some secrets, sometimes I can just draw them. They're so plain. If I don't, they won't be plain. But anyway, a man, you know, like everybody, they are humans just like we are. And so they have little valleys, you know, they have little dips in their character and in their attributes and in their abilities. And we are to fill in those little dips. That's the best way I know to explain it. Now, it takes more flexibility. So it takes more grace. And it takes more intuition, sensitivity, so that we can, that's why she said, it's good for women to counsel some things. But I am telling you, I'm just getting out of that a lot. I mean, I've needed to be counseled myself. So. I mean, I'm getting tired. I just think, Lord help, I don't need to hear it. Not one other thing, I've got everything they have. You know I don't have to. When they walk up to me now, like one the other night, he didn't have to say anything to me, and I didn't have to say anything back to him. It was a dad, and some things were happening that he never expected to happen. And I said, oh, I understand. He said, yes, I know you do. You don't have to say as much if they know you've been there. And you can't get there before you get there. You know, you just got to wait. But you look forward to it. Because you are going to get there. Well, let me see. Let me go back here. I'd better read, though, what the Lord gave me for you all first. I once had a delicate, fragile gift from my husband, blown off a shelf by a small puff of wind. That's when we first met. Crashing onto the floor. it was broken. We didn't have many nice things then, and it was a little tiny grand piano in glass. But I didn't have the proper place to put it, and so I had a little table right by the door, and somebody walked in, the puff of wind just blew it down on the floor, and it was in pieces. As we're talking about brokenness, I stooped to pick up the pieces, and it was irreparable. Although I cherished it, it was gone forever. It was tangible. Most of life's tangibles, when broken, and if they're repaired, they're left with some marks of restoration. Some small crack or a slight discoloration or a blemish. I have watched a man, though, on the other hand, broken in the potter's hand. I have watched as he would become gentle, as he would become merciful and repentant in his spirit, kind, whereas before he'd been cynical and critical. I have watched God repair that vessel and restore it. In fact, make it brand new. A brand new creature. Intangible. And this is jotted down here when I felt like the Lord had this for us here. Intangibles can tolerate brokenness. In fact, with the miraculous power of God's restoration, they can be better than new. There are many forms of brokenness and as many different effects. Perhaps the easiest vacuum for the pieces of brokenness to fall into is, like I said a while ago, bitterness. But of a certainty, and that's the little story I was trying to tell you about Peter, when Peter turned around and said, "To whom shall we go?" There's no choice about whether to be bitter or not. You don't want to be bitter. You'll be lost. You'll be miserable. You'll be ill. The rest of your life you will. And you will lose your reward, even if you're saved in the end. If you get rid of it. But of a certainty, bitterness is in the long run the most difficult and destructive. There is a potent ingredient deposited by divinity into brokenness that is essential to becoming. Remember the title of this little, the subject of this? That is especially for you. I have never used it any other place. When brokenness becomes a blessing. So there is that potent ingredient that is essential to our becoming. What's going to turn this brokenness into a blessing? Of course, pain and suffering usually accompany brokenness. And both of these experiences cause us to stop and listen. I don't care how busy your schedule is. When you get broken enough, you're going to take time to pray. And you're not going to do all the talking. You're going to learn to listen. You won't get in as big a hurry as you thought you were because you're desperate to hear what he has to say. Listening plays a great part in maturation. And maturation is attained by the process of becoming. Now, I'm not saying what you're going to become. Nobody but God knows that. If I don't get anything else across while I'm here with you, I don't want you to forget this. It is dangerous to set limitation on your ability. We want to talk about that tomorrow. Only God knows what you can become. Only God knows. You had no idea, Sister Lumpkin, of ever being a district superintendent's wife. Why, you would have shuddered and probably backed out of the whole thing if you had known it. I had no idea that I would be a pastor's wife in Houston, Texas. And when we took that church, it was so related to us and our thinking. It was a class church. It was a church that liked everything done just right. That had been their pattern for years. I watched as the Lord rearranged the pieces. Just simply beautiful. Now we are the inner city church that tries to mend broken hearts and broken lives of all nationalities. And I love it because I wanted to be a missionary when I was a child. And I am enjoying the thrill of watching miracles that nobody else would probably want to prove with. But that's not the class thing in Pentecost, in the organization. It's a big, big deal. I mean, I will hear, and it's beautiful because that is their place in the body, to do just exactly what they're doing. It, to hear about the new church out on the freeway, and Brother Deeds, we have 10 acres and we have 25 acres right out on the freeway. The Lord has just done wonderful things for us. And we tried to do the same thing. And we were going to move way out because they told us that within 10 years, if you didn't move as far as 10 or 20 miles out, within 10 years, the same situation would be there because Houston was growing so fast. And the inner city thing, and if you've never worked with a large metropolitan inner city ministry, when I visited New York City and I heard their woes, I never dreamed that I'd be right in the middle of it. I thought, oh, I love New York. I'd just love to come here and work. Until my last trip there. And Brother Spencer took us down where those high rises were going up in the hot summertime. And they were hanging out the windows for a breath of fresh air. And they would allow them to turn the hoses on and get out there and play in the water to cool off. And he said, Brother Dees, one of the saints lives right up there. I didn't know we'd be a part of that. So we looked for property and found a nice piece. It would cost about $1 million, which we didn't have. Just trust the Lord, you know. Then Brother Dees, as we were praying about it, Brother Dees said, the Lord asked him, what's the difference in the people here and where you're going? You answer that for me, because I don't want to tell the Lord the difference. He knew the difference. He knew it was class people that didn't want their children to associate with all of these bus kids. He knew the difference in the thinking. He knew why when Brother Dees finally said to the church one day, we won't be moving. I won't say we'll never move, but we're not moving now. We're staying right here. And some of our most, involved members decided they would move. Now, here's the strange thing about it. As long as we are being charitable and we are doing like Sister Mangan said, we're up here and lifting out a helping hand. There is a big difference than when that one has the privilege to come in. And as they get saved, they get on the same level with these that were lifting their hands down to them. I watched it. I saw the difference. Some of the most charitable people that we had that had gone into the slum area and had been a superintendent of the Sunday school. That was part of the group that wanted to kind of ease out. When that group began to grow up and be a part of the school and were sitting on the same pews, you know, the love of God has ways of testing us. He gives us the cutting edge. He draws the line at the right time. Now, your line may be drawn in a different way. So all of this was happening. Now, this is a privilege. This is now a great privilege, and the people with us have decided this is a great ministry. And we minister to between 100 and 200 Cambodians on Sunday morning, and that is thrilling to me. Making it to where it could relate to any group of people. Now, we have on certain times at our anniversary services now, Brother Urshan has preached to representatives, senators. Our church has been proclaimed, the day for Houston more than one time. It's a beautiful thing to know that people can mix like that. And you see God's love at work. But let me go back to what I would open the Bible to. And I'd start reading. And he said, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house so you can hear what I have to tell you. So that's where I got that a while ago, that Jeremiah had been preaching and telling these people what God had been telling him. But there is a deeper hearing. There is a deeper sound. The deep calls to the deep. So Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and this is what would upset me when I'd open this up and read it. And behold, the potter wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Would you say marred? Marred. In the hand of the potter. And I started to tell you, in Colorado one time when I watched a potter, I think that he did it so quickly that I wonder if I actually saw it. He took that piece of clay, had it on that wheel, and in just a second down it went into the garbage. That's what you can do with people. If you don't have the real love of God in your heart, you can say, well, there's nothing I can do. I've done all I can do. They just don't love God. If they love God, they wouldn't act like this. You ever acted any way that you didn't understand why you did it that way? Have you ever said anything or your spirit was affected? See, sometimes our spirits can be more shameful than what we say. We won't get out and chew and dip and curse and dance and commit adultery, but we have a hardness and a self-righteousness. Let me remind you of something. I'm saying this because we must identify with anybody. With any type sinner. What we're learning right now is that we are learning to love the sinner and hate the sin. We haven't known how to do that. We couldn't separate the sinner from the sin. But He's teaching us. He's as ministers. There is an attack by Satan on ministers, homes, and families. We are not only plagued with diseases killing our people and with different spirits coming in and destroying families. He is allowing it. Now, the devil could not do this if God did not have a purpose. And that's what saved me in all of this that the Lord has allowed us to go through. Every area of our lives has been attacked. Every area of our lives has been attacked in the last 4 or 5 years. And that's what helped me. It's what could have destroyed me if I hadn't humbled myself, like James the 5th chapter says. The answer is to humble yourself in the hands of the potter. You're on the wheel, honey. Don't be unconscious as to what's happening to you. Take His word. Get down there to pray. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. And He'll say, just a minute. You said you wanted to know me? In the power of the resurrection? Oh, yes. But there's another part to this. In the fellowship of His sufferings. Would you say that real slowly? In the fellowship of His... If you don't know Jesus Christ in His sufferings, I dare say you do not know Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean He's going to discard us. He's going to give us an opportunity to suffer with Him. Did you know all of His sufferings were not fulfilled? There is a scripture, I don't know where it is right now, and I don't know exactly what it says. But it says that we might fill up the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He did not finish that part of it for a reason. And Paul got so anxious to be what the vessel that God wanted him to be. And I love that. When you get... The other night the Holy Spirit spoke to us. It was Sunday night. And He said, be reckless. Forsake it. He was talking about your own way. Your own reasoning. He said, unless you learn to depend totally upon Me and lose all of your reservations, you will never know what it is to depend on Me as the gentle shepherd who will provide everything you need. He said, why do you think David was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? In other words, did you know that everything in that psalm, the shepherd did it? Now I was praying one day and I said, Lord, I just want to be used of You. I see this one being used, that one being used. Lord, please, what is wrong with me? I mean, can't you just find a little place for me? And it was just like His voice said, I have a place by Me for you. And I thought, oh, is that scripture? And it was. He told Moses that. And I thought, for me? That's great. And then He said, I was just worrying and worrying and trying to save Houston all by myself. How ridiculous. And about that, I would have had a nervous breakdown if the Lord hadn't talked to me. Trying to save Houston, you know, probably. And He said to me, what did I ever ask a sheep to do? And I thought a minute, and I thought of the 23rd Psalm, and everything that's in that Psalm, the shepherd did it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall know. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. He prepares the table before mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. It's everything. I said, Lord, nothing but follow. And it was kind of like He said, well, why don't you do it then? You know what He meant, don't you? Total commitment. Leave it alone. Don't try to reason it out. Just get up in the morning and just decide you're just going to, you know, you're going to live a normal day if that's what the Lord provides. But if He directs something and it just runs into your little world, then you just don't be, you don't say, no, now I had to do this. You know, I got to do this today, because you don't realize it's the Lord, see, right at that time. Be flexible and just let the Holy Spirit direct you. And if I hadn't done it, I wouldn't be here speaking to you tonight. Because I couldn't get all my notes typed out just right like my husband does. I didn't have time to do that. So I have to be flexible. That's a good excuse, isn't it? No, really, I believe that. I really believe that. He told me that. Blame it on Jesus. He told me that if I'd be flexible. Now, I'll tell you what... let me give you an example. Now, this is becoming. This is becoming. Because I wasn't this way. I was the type that if I went on a trip, I needed a few days to get everything just right. I mean, I had everything in the suitcase just right. Everything matched, you know. Everything was right. And I would get a little nervous. We call it nervous. Sometimes we just get mad. But the spiritual thing is to say nerves. So I would get nervous, you know. But I learned you can have just as much fun on a trip if you throw it all together, you know. I mean, when I throw it together, it still doesn't look like Tilly Dover's used to. If you ever knew Tilly Dover. She opened one end of the suitcase and poked it in. Now, the Lord knows how far to take me. That is too far. But that flexibility is what the Lord was trying to get across to me. And if I had not said, "Yes, Lord, you're my shepherd," I'm going to be like a little old sheep. Where do you want me to go? And I just go by my feelings and sensitivities. Okay, so here is what happened to me one day. For instance, now something like this might happen to you. So don't be so straight-laced. I started to tell you a while ago. The only ones that Jesus ever could not tolerate. Now I want you to hear this. The only people. They're a little bit warm in here, Sister Lumpkin. They're going to go to sleep if we don't. Is it too warm for you all? Okay, if you can take it, I mean, I'm fine. The only ones he could not tolerate, you hear me, it was not the adulterer. No. Who was it? The Pharisees. Those people that could not bend. They could not break. I know a single woman right now that was one of the most beautiful Christians and so full of ability and talent. And a loyal woman. I mean a real Christian. But you know, there it had to be this way and that way or Marguerite could not do it. And I watched it as her life began to just fade away in usefulness. She never even was married. And it wasn't because she couldn't have been. She just was not, she could not bend. You know, she couldn't be flexible. So I knew what the Lord was talking about because I like to know ahead of time. There was one thing that bothered me about Brother Dees was he didn't have to know ahead of time. I mean, not to this day, and that runs in his family. If they decide to change their minds right at the last minute, we may be going from, instead of New York, to California. He's just that. So that's good. But I wasn't that way, so it made it hard on me. If he would have just told me a day before and kind of prepared me, you know. So the Lord had to prepare me, and sure enough, I started just trying to be consciously flexible and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the potter. This is the way the potter does things. So one day, in all of my rush, you know, I think if I'm not rushing, I think it's kind of a psychological thing. There's so much to be done that if I slow down, I think it's terrible. I mean, slow my motor down up here. And so that day was a usual day, just going like crazy. And I found somebody came to me. The Lord had placed it on my heart to start nursing home services many, many years before. And at different nursing homes. We had about 6 or 7 or 8 going at the same time. And for years this went on. And a lady came. I never dreamed that the Lord would use that to answer my prayer about my neighbors. And I had prayed for my neighbors. I tried the proper way to get my neighbors. I tried a tea, you know, my neighbor was a doctor, and I invited her, and I'd invite the other one, and I said, well, then I'll just have a tea over here, and at least we'll get acquainted, you know, and then maybe the Lord will open up a way for me to say something about the church and about the truth. That didn't work. 1 or 2 of them came, but the rest of them were too busy. So one day, unexpectedly, this is the way the Lord shapes you. You won't know when the potter's really going to give you a good punch in the thigh. You know? That's what makes these vessels so beautiful and different, though. They're originals. When his thumb just, whoop, you know, and, oh, yes, now look at that. Now, I like that vessel because I've never seen one like that before. That's the way every one of us are if we let God do it. He'll have a bend in you over here and a one over here in me on this side. So, that morning, as usual. But one of the saints had come to me and said, Sister Peace, did you know your neighbor's mother passed away and they're having her funeral tomorrow? And I said, Oh, my. 2 o'clock. And I rushed the car in there, parked real fast, and barely got there. And I rushed on in, and I did something I've never done before, and I probably never will do it again. But it was fun because I was unconscious. Do what I was doing. The potter was doing it. And I rushed, I walked over there, and now when I first moved there, the only one of my neighbors that I could get to Sunday school was a little cotton-headed boy down the street. And then his wife came and said, well, Peter's father says that he should be going to his own church. Well, that was Catholic. So I'd never met Peter's father, and Peter couldn't go anymore with me. Now I was still praying, Lord, save my neighbor. Give me somebody that lives around me here. And we're all so busy that one of us could die and the other one would hardly know it in Houston. And you may not be that way in Arkansas, but honey, that's Houston. And so I thought, oh, here I am. And you know what I did? I walked in the funeral home, walked right over there, so help me, good Lord, Sister Mickey, and sat right down by Peter's father with the family. Now, they hadn't invited me. They didn't know I was coming either. And I felt so good about it. I don't know how they felt. But they needed me. I saw right away they needed me. That's right. That's what the Lord gave me that feeling for. And do you know that I went on with her, went to them to the grave side, and I thought, oh my good neighbor, these other neighbors will be bringing in food. But I just haven't had time to have anything to bring. But I will go over there and see what I can do to help them. I don't know if I took a loaf. I don't know if I even had a loaf of bread. But I went on to the house with them. None of the neighbors came and brought anything hardly. And there I was with those people. And that was her last member of her immediate family to die. And I didn't know how devastated she was at that time. So it began to open up. I saw how devastated she was. So I stayed with them. And then I said, Jane, would you like to go to the church and pray? Maybe that would help you. So this Catholic and I went into our church, and she prayed the Catholic way, the way she felt led, and I prayed not quite like I usually did. And just a few minutes, and then we got up and left. Well, then I said, Jane, do you think that, I tell you what would help you, honey, more than anything. And if we could have a Bible study in your home, and they would just come and just teach the Bible, I believe this would really comfort you. Do you think that Van would let you have it? Because by that time, Van and I were friends, because I'd stayed by them, honey, when nobody else did, honey. And she said, I think so. Let me tell you how God will move if you will just be unconscious about it. Just be a sheep. Just relax. You'll really enjoy it. It's not hard to do. It's much easier than you trying to plan everything out. Now, this doesn't happen every day, but something can happen every day. I mean, as many sinners as we have in Houston, it ought to happen every day nearly. And so, I've had other things happen besides this, but this is one of the most shocking ones. You know. So, that Bible study day came, and hear what I had prayed for years. Lord, save my neighbors. Oh, God, give somebody make a... And if we had Brother Urshan come, you know, somebody special, that I knew they'd say just the right thing and not act strange. Well, I would take a handbill and I'd go from door to door. Now, maybe they'll come to this drama. Nobody. Nobody'd show up. So here it comes the day for us to have the Bible study like I had wanted it to be. And here I am so busy flitting around, you know, like a butterfly. I don't know what all I was busy with that day. And the days before, and I had not gone and invited anybody to that Bible study. I couldn't believe it. That I was that carnal. And so the morning came, Monday I think it was, and I said, oh my goodness, we're having that Bible study tonight. Oh my goodness, what if Jane calls me? And about that time the phone rang. And it was Jane. And I said, "Oh, Jane, honey, we're having a Bible study tonight, aren't we?" I said, "You know what? I have not gone out yet and knocked on one door of our neighbors to invite them. But I am going. I'm going out in just a little while." "Oh, no, Mrs. D. Oh, no, I have already been." You see what God was doing? He let me get busy over here so my Catholic neighbor, because I'd lived there for years, they all knew I was the minister's wife. It would have prejudiced the neighbors probably if I had gone and invited them to her house. So the Lord let me get busy because I was not the vessel for that job. She was. And do you believe the Holy Ghost moved on that Catholic woman to go knock doors for me? She had been from neighbor to neighbor. And let me tell you how the Lord prepared for her. The neighbor across the street from her had gotten a letter from her sister-in-law in Arkansas, by the way. She'd been down there on a visit and she said, "Dear June." One was Jane, one was June. She said, "Dear June, I noticed such a difference in you and Johnny this time on our visit. You know, you're not going to church like you used to, are you?" And to make it brief, she had written in this letter, "They're having Bible studies in the homes in Houston. You need to get in one. You and Johnny both." And June said she laid that letter over on the table, and when she'd go by it, they have one of the largest wholesale floors probably in Houston. And they're busy people. So she just let the letter stay over there. And when she'd pass by the table, that letter would kind of say, "You know, you should be doing what I said for you to do." She said she'd think about it. She'd see that letter there. She'd think, "I need to find a Bible study." And about that time, that was the morning that the Lord had Jane go knocking on doors. And the knock came, and June went to the door, and she said, "Well, Jane said, we're having a Bible study at my house tonight. Would you like to come?" She said, "Well, they found me." Now that's how much fun it is to just let the potter alone. I mean, just let him do with you what he needs you to do. You don't know your potential. And do you know June was obese? And she'd come out there. You should have seen what June looked like. With her cropped off, she didn't worry about what she looked so much prettier. I know Johnny's so glad that she got the Holy Ghost. Because she looked so much prettier living for God. And so she and her husband and everybody in the family but one's been baptized in Jesus. Every one of them. And the little Catholic woman said, look at that. I got June in and I'm still standing in the door." And they moved out of the city and I thought, oh, Ben had had a heart attack or two. And God was really shaking him over, I'm telling you. And I wrote him a poem while he was in the hospital. That was my little part to do. And to go see him. And they moved to another town. Well, about a year later or two, we get this call. "Brother D, could you baptize me today? I'm coming into Houston." Would you? That was Van himself, the man, the Catholic man. I tell you, I just love living for the Lord and watching. Now, when I finish this up, then I will have to close. I have a lot more because I have 6 reasons why it's such a blessing to have the experience of being broken. See, anything Jesus does is positive. That's the way you can know if it's God or the devil talking to you. If it's negative, it's the devil. God doesn't know how to talk negative. Everything, all of His promises are what? Yes, or yea, and amen. But here's what I would see. And the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I'd say, oh God, Lord, my sons had failed the Lord in different ways. Of course, I had failed the Lord. But there's some things if you do, we look down on you more than if you hid it and you did it another way. If you backbite and if you talk about your brother and if you step on his head to get up, that's not as bad as what somebody else might do over here that would lie or commit adultery or something else. In the sight of God, honey, we all need His help. And we all need to be mended. And we all need to be loved. And so I'd get to that and I'd think, oh God, just look at this and just look at that. And I love them. And me, there's no telling. I may not even be the vessel. You know, I'm sure I've disappointed You lots of times, Lord. I may not even be the vessel You intended me to be. So here I am. We're just marred. And I'd almost close the Bible in dejection. But one day when it got bad enough and I was squeezed tightly enough with trials and testing, and the wheel was going real fast that day. And I thought, Lord, are You still there working on me? Well, I opened the Bible for something. Dear God, give me something. You know what He gave me? Jeremiah 18. I turned back to it, and I was desperate enough that I thought, well, what does this say? So I had to overlook. I didn't go far enough to see the real jewel. So He made it again. Another vessel. Now, when you're broken, just stay still and quiet as you can. And wait, because the potter's going to pick you back up. And when He gets through, and let me tell you, well, I'll get to that in a minute. So He made it again, another vessel, and look at what the phrase says. As seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord, Jeremiah said, came to me. And said, oh, Israel, cannot I do with you as I did with this piece of clay? I'm going to ask you that. Cannot God do with you like that potter was doing with that clay? How long are you going to be content to stay just where you think you can do it? Get it out of your mind what you think you can do. Move out into another dimension that only God can prepare for you. I was shy. I was inhibited. I was a self-conscious person. I was not the person to go and just break the ice with people. Let God. And now, honey, I just love to talk to strangers. I can just go on and on. We can. I can find out where they're from in the world, and I've been there probably, and we can talk about what we saw for a while, and then the Lord just begins to open it up. It's just beautiful if you'll just let it alone in the hands of the potter. And you know what the Lord started letting me see in that? The plan of redemption from the beginning of the world. One day I said, oh God, what did I do that made the mistake that made my son have that kind of an attitude right at this time? What on earth? I thought I put everything. And then about that time He said, what did I do wrong with my first son? You think that didn't help me? What the devil wants you to do is to be under guilt. All of your days He wants you under guilt over something. You watch Him. Just about the time you get a good blessing right here at this retreat, I want you to be conscious when you go home of what happened. I want you to watch it. The devil will bring up a challenge to you and you'll think, my Lord, have mercy. I just got such a blessing. And you will be so vexed in your spirit and the devil will harass you. There are four spirits the Lord showed me that were attacking us. And I believe it's basic for the general ones of His people. I believe that Psalms 91, where it said, but He always, when He tells us about it, He gives us a promise. And here's what He gave me, Sister Lumpkin, right in the middle of it. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Tread. Come on. Oh, dear Lord. Tread. That means walk on. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. And the adder is, he can't say, look, you're going to be so nor your children, nor your husband. Say, my husband is not immune. Did you say that? I mean, did you say that to where it'll make a groove up here? We better love our husband. And so then it said, and the young lion and the dragon, that's four spirits, shalt thou trample on the earth. You know, the dragon, I've been wondering, and you know, most of the things that the devil gets you with and harasses you with is not the truth anyway. It's a lie. The dragon is a lie. There's never been a dragon in the world. It's a lie. It's a myth. So that lying spirit and the young lion, I think, is harassing. You know, he can't get out there and tear you apart like the big lion. But that little lion can say, and really, it's not the big lion that bothers us the most. It's those little harassing things. Every day harassing. And just about the time one comes up, another one will come up. And if we just had one at a time, it'd be different. But you watch it. It won't ever be one at a time, hardly. When he finally decides to come in on you, it's going to be several things. Four spirits. But he gave me a promise. Okay, let me finish with this. And that is that he, from the redemption, from the beginning of the first vessel that the great potter put his hands on to make, what happened to him? Adam, what happened to him? Wasn't he marred? What about the strongest man that God ever chose? Samson, what happened to him? What about the man after his own heart, David? What happened to him? What happened to the wisest man? Take the first man, the strongest man, the wisest man. What happened to Solomon? Until finally Solomon said, I've tried it all, dear God. I'm a broken vessel. Make me over again. And he showed me the plan of redemption was that we've got to realize he didn't even plan for that first vessel to make it. He didn't plan for that. He didn't plan for me to be what he wanted me to be until he got me to say calf rope. Do you all know what calf rope is up here? Does everybody know what calf rope is? The younger ones don't know what it is. That's when boys in school, when I was growing up, would take your arm and bend it back as far as it could go, you know, because they liked you. And you'd say calf rope. They'd say calf rope. You'd say calf rope. That means I give up. So until the Lord knew that the first round was not going to make it. The first Adam can never make it. So whatever it takes, mold me, break me, make me. What does that song say? What is that about, sweet Holy Spirit? Cleanse me, break me, mold me. You then use me. That's it. David could not be the vessel. Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was. Don't forget, you don't set the boundaries. He has to take us like we are, rearrange us, and if we'll just let him, he is going to use us. You hear me? He's got vessels that he is making over right now. And he's going to be and you can be one of us. Every one of us in this house loves things. Look who we are. We are special vessels. Look in the New Testament, the one that made the biggest was marred the worst after training and teaching. You know, that's what happens. Pastor said, oh my goodness, man, I feel.
figure that out. I can't figure that out. But I know one thing, that it takes God to get it inside that vessel. It takes you saying, yes, Lord, here I am, with no reservation. And whatever it takes them for you to break, it will take a different sense of peace for you than it will for me. Still has to have much greater peace. You're a strong-willed person, well then there's no telling what you're going to tell. If you, and if you're so mean, then you don't have enough strength, you know how to put a different kind of peace. And you'll step out like a person. It's an what's happening to us. I think it's you. Because we're getting rid of our old God. I've got all my life to be good. And every time that I really get good, somebody will say something to me after the good time. And I thought, Lord, now what I've got to do is with my tongue, I just want to say something. And so a few times I've got by without saying a little something back, which is not as good as that. But that didn't say, you know what happened is I did. And I started resenting people that was, I thought, resenting for nothing. And so I was working on my spirit. And one day I said, my kinds get better and better and better. If you came here for that, I hope God will make the list. Because, honey, there's not a one of us good. And you never will be good. You cannot drink that cup right now. Just save the cup and you'll drink it. That's what was so hard on Jesus Christ. He became the world sinner. You have to realize that there are two kingdoms in this world. His arch enemy was defiled with God. The only real enemy that God had. And there he was trying to establish his own kingdom and constantly harassing God about it. And Jesus became the very thing that that archenemy had in you. He hated it. His flesh shrank from it. Don't ever think it was the cross that he prayed over the dead. No. There were sinners who could die on the cross. It was Jesus Christ becoming. Even he had to be broken. Even he had to be marked. And you know how the Bible says he earned it? He earned obedience by what? Let's say it together. Jesus the flesh learned obedience. He learned to defend himself. He said, please, God, I can't relate to it. Don't let me down. He became the worst liar, the rest the worst thief. If he had not become the worst adulterer would not be able to be killed. He took his place on Calvary. And that's why the judgment of Almighty God had to be poured out. And that's why the Son ran over and just pulled the shade. Said, I cannot bear to look at it. What is happening? Everything's in reverse today. The pure one, the perfect one, is becoming sin. You know, it's the only way to be a sinner, not to become sin, but to be able to identify that you are just as bad as they are without the grace of God.
It's the only way we'll ever reach this world. That's the only way we'll ever have compassion. That's the only way. So he gives us a taste of it. He gives us a taste of it. One thing, it shocks the enemy when the grace of God comes in when you're broken. It shocks him. He thinks, look, I thought she'd give. Look, I thought she'd be destroyed. Oh, so you thought that if you challenged Job and everything was taken away from him, all his children, all of his stock, everything. Yeah, devil, you got a shock, didn't you? It gives God an opportunity to show His love. You know who you love? When you, if you want you and your husband to really love, have a little trouble or grief or suffering together. And then it diminishes me and makes me reckless because I'm already marred anyway. You know, I've already been humiliated anyway. I've already lost my pride anyway. So here I am, Lord, and that's when He gets the glory. When you can identify that we are not good in ourselves, only then will I become stronger when I realize how weak I am. God, right now, Jesus, speak to every one of us, Lord, as only You can do in Your loving, gentle way. My God, would You speak to every one of us? Because there is an area that You want to take us into in these last days. Lord, You want to use us so much. You want to use us. But if we don't let You, You will use somebody. You're going to use somebody. Because we're in that day, Lord. We're in that day. You're preparing us for the end time. And Lord, You're going to use some vessel somewhere. And let us be those vessels, Lord. Oh, God, let us make a commitment right now. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'll sing that song and then we'll go, honey. Let's try it in 5 minutes. Just about the time that our baby, it looked like, was going to die and we were trusting the Lord, a very humiliating thing happened. And that's when the Lord had given me this song right before that happened. Somehow the police found out about our child being sick and out of school. And they called and said that they were going to take him to the doctor if we didn't. In other words, we didn't care as much about our child as they did. That's very humiliating. My husband said, no, if anybody takes him, I will take him. His little boy, night before last, during a choir practice, received the Holy Ghost. 6 years old. Just a little bit younger than Reginald was when we almost lost him. The hand of the potter was working some things out. And so one day, we were in there praying, and the words of this song started coming. Well, the Lord gave us tongues and interpretation in the bedroom before we had to take him. And see, what would happen, we'd pray for him and he'd get better. He'd get so much better till he just want to eat or play. And that night, zoom, he'd go right back down and just look like he was going to die. So the Lord let us have these experiences. And we didn't understand it at the time. And all of a sudden, one day when we were praying, the message came like this. Although you walk through the valley in shadow, and all around you seems as dark as the night. Let me see what it said right there. He let us know that when the morning came, all would be right. When we see Him. He didn't tell me the baby was going to live or die. He just said, it's going to be all right. In other words, be flexible. Let me take care of this. Let me see if I can remember the words. It's been years. Although we walk through the valley and shadow, and all around us as dark as the night, I'm ever watching and I'm longing for tomorrow when I see Jesus and all will be right.
and I'll begin a brighter day when I see my Jesus. Well, all will be right. All through the heat of the fire, He hears our groaning. His grace sustains us as the gold becomes more bright. Such hard afflictions linger only for a moment. Then we are going to see Jesus, and all will be right. All will be right in that morning. Upon His lovely face, every care is gonna pass away, and I'll begin a brighter day when I see my Jesus. Well, all will be right when I see Jesus. I'll be off the wheel then. The potter will have finished. All will be right.